It is 5:40 in the afternoon where I have been the last 2 weeks. So I've been thinking about them today. In fact, I've been thinking about them the last couple of days. So this morning, I want to talk to you about my trip and tell you what happened. So we're going to see if we can get things going here. There we go. All right, so I want to give a report on the Czech work, the Czech Republic. Czech Republic is what used to be Czechoslovakia, but when the Czech Republic separated from Slovakia, then they became the Czech Republic, and the eastern end of the country then became Slovakia. So when they were joined together, then they were Czechoslovakia. I want to I have really missed this. All right. Now then. I went to the Czech Republic around 13 years ago, just before Slovakia and the Czech Republic split. That happened in 1993. So I was over there just before that. I feel sorry when I look at I was pushing the back button instead of the forward button, so it wasn't the equipment. I feel sorry for the people in Czechoslovakia in many ways, for their history, because in the years preceding World War II, they were just pretty well handed over to the Germans. And during the time I taught the Czechoslovakians, for example, I taught them about the prophet Obadiah, and I said that Obadiah dealt with the Edomites, and so they were the Edomites were counting on their alliances, and so here I was teaching these people from Czechoslovakia, and so I said that they knew that you couldn't count on alliances. The Czechoslovakians had learned that you can't count on alliances very well. So when I taught them about Obadiah, they understood about that. Then, of course, during World War II, Czechoslovakia remained under the control of the Germans. And when World War II was over, there was a very little period of respite in there. And then they fell under the control of the Soviet Union. In 1968, there was an effort to bring freedom and democracy back to Czechoslovakia. And this was called the Prague Spring. Now, some of you might remember back that far ago. 1968, Czechoslovakia was going to be free again, led by Alexander Dubček. And then they were invaded by the Warsaw Forces. And from that day until 1989, Czechoslovakia had not known actual freedom. They got fruit twice a year. Twice a year they could have fruit back under the communist regime. And they had dilapidated old cars, just sorry work, typical of East German industry and Russian industry at the time. And the older Czechs would tell me about this. And so they've had their hard times. But since 1989, they've had freedom. And they've been growing. They've been growing in many ways, some good and some not so good. Leon Malden and I spent a month in České Budějovice preaching and teaching. And I'm going to show you where these places are. And let me just take the time to do that right now. I want to make sure. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, all right, good. I want to show you a little bit on this map here, because most of us Americans, since we live in a country this big, and we have many states in this union, we live in a very big place, and we know a good bit about Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, Well, this is equivalent to the various states that make up Europe. But we don't know much about Europe, and I found out that they don't know much about Mississippi, Arkansas, Florida, and all of that. So sometimes everybody talks about how well-informed the Europeans are. Well, they're well-informed about the United States, but the United States is made up of 50 states, and they're not well-informed about all 50 of our states. So I don't feel any particular apology that I don't know all about Moldova and Latvia and so on. But nevertheless, I want to show you a few things here. During the missionary journeys of Paul, the first missionary journey took him into this area right here. That was the first journey. The second journey, he went across to Troas, went up here to Philippi, came down through Thessalonica, and came on down here to Athens and to Corinth. And so at this time, this part was called Macedonia. This part down here was called Greece. Well, now this little country right here is Macedonia. So you've got Romania is this one right here. Romania is north of Bulgaria. So what I'm saying is I didn't really get terribly close to this region, but down here where Paul was on his missionary journeys. In the New Testament, Paul refers to this territory in here as Illyricum. And although we're not told about his time spent there, he mentions preaching in Illyricum. And he spent the winter at a place that was located right here called Nicopolis. And that was apparently after he had gotten out of the prison the first time. He was in prison in Rome twice. And between those two times, he spent the winter at Nicopolis right here. But on up here in the center part of Europe and in the eastern part of it, you have the Czech Republic, you have Slovakia, you have Hungary, Austria just to the south of the Czech Republic, and Germany over here to the west of the Czech Republic. So you have the Czech Republic, Austria, Slovakia, Hungary, Romania, and then, of course, we've got other countries here. There's work going on in the Ukraine. There is work going on in the Ukraine. There is work being done over in Moscow. But notice the country of Lithuania here. Lithuania is a Baltic state, and because it fronts here on the Baltic Sea. And so Lithuania has access to the sea. So notice these places, Lithuania, Czech Republic, and Slovakia, and Hungary, and Romania. Those are the places that I'm going to be telling you a little bit about as we go along, primarily about the Czech Republic. But I do want you to note where these other places are. To get from Lithuania down to the Czech Republic, you could drive, but it'd be a lot better to fly. The people that I'm going to tell you about flew in order to get there. Now then, this map focuses in on the Czech Republic, and I just want to show you some of the primary areas here. Of course, here's the city of Prague, and Prague has about 1.7 million people. So I compared that to Sao Paulo, and of course, compared to Sao Paulo, Prague would be just a little town, so far as the population is concerned. But Prague is a very, very ancient city, and it's a very beautiful city in many ways, in the architecture and so on, things like that. And it is the capital of the Czech Republic. The Czech Republic is composed of a section known as Bohemia and Moravia. And most of the time that I was there, I was in the province known as Bohemia. And so from Prague, we came down. The city is not on here. It's called Kamenice. And it was located down here between Prague and České Budějovice. And by the way, if it would be easier for you to say České Budějovice, can be translated Czech Budweiser. That's what the city's name means. Beer making in ancient times was a privilege given by the state and so on. So Český or Česka means Czech. And then Republika means the Republic. And so České Budějovice or Czech Budweiser. Let's see. Then there is I'm trying to think. There's a place called Litomyso that's not on here. Look here at Brno. Brno. I did not go to Brno, but I want you to be aware of the name of that town. There are saints that meet in Brno. There are saints that meet in České Budějovice. There are saints, of course, that meet in Prague. There are saints that meet in Litomyšl. And so I'll be telling you about those as we go along. So this is the map of the present-day Czech Republic. Lonnie Oldag was located in, we call CB for obvious reasons. We don't want to say České Budějovice every time we say that. So he was located in CB at the time that Leon and I went there about 13 years ago, and we worked closely with him. Lonnie and we, Leon and I, used a translator who was named Jan Novak. Now, Jan told us his name was Jan because he thought that we probably would not be able to say his real name, which was Hanza. Well, I didn't think Hanza was much harder than Jan, but at least it was a good bit of time that went by before I learned that his name was actually Hanza, which is Czech for John. So he had tried to accommodate us and give us an easy name to say. But Jan Novak, now everyone knows him as Hanza. So that is his name now. We got very close to this young man when Leon and I were over there. In fact, when we left České Budějovice all those years ago, there were tears in this young man's eyes. He wasn't a Christian yet, but the studies that we had, and of course Lonnie's life lived before him, had a very great impact on him. And shortly after Leon and I returned to the U.S., we learned that Jan had been converted. And I could tell you a lot of things about Jan and his life before, but there were many changes that he had to make. And he made those changes. There were changes in his morality, a morality which was really an immorality that was freely accepted by the Czechs and most Europeans. He had to change that, and he did. And so not only was he baptized, but he married the girl that he had been dating. She is now a Christian also. Her name is Pavla, which is Paula, and they have three beautiful little children. So that was very good to be with him, and I had an occasion Thursday night before I came back to talk with him. We also used a translator named Mira Vokal. Now, he was already a Christian at the time we were over there. During our studies, we studied, oh, how often we studied with Mira. Oh, at the times we taught. Long times we'd be walking and we'd be talking and teaching him. During our studies, we had several classes with a very sweet girl named Rose. She could speak English. And so again, she accommodated us and told us her name was Rose. Well, actually, her name is Ruzhinka, which means Rose. And so I learned to say Ruzhinka also. But she was such a sweet girl. We enjoyed the classes. Well, shortly after we came back from the Czech Republic all those years ago, Rose was converted. She was baptized almost immediately after we got back to the States. And sometime later, she and Mira were married, the translator. And I had told them that you need to marry from one another because it is going to be difficult enough for you to be Christians. Living in this area, living in the Czech Republic, it's going to be difficult. You don't need to add to that the burden of being married to a non-Christian. So we encourage them to do that. And they have tried pretty hard to work on that and do that. So Mira married Ruzhinka, and they have two absolutely beautiful little girls. Black-haired, black-eyed little girls. They're just precious. You can tell I got to spend some time with them. And that was a real pleasure. During these years, although I had kept up with the work, I had not been able to go back. Various things, I could say, Satan hindered, as Paul said, in terms of his going to Rome. But I had not been able to go back. I had kept up with things, but I had not been able to go back. Last year, Mike Mara asked me about coming to present lessons of Psalms and Minor Prophets. And, of course, that's always something that I love to study and teach. So I agreed to do that. Mike has been there about 15 years, and he means an awful lot to that work. He felt that the Christians had grown to the point that they needed to begin studying the Old Testament more intensively. And so he asked me about coming, and I agreed to do so. Each year, Christians from all over Eastern Europe meet for these lectures. And the lectures are arranged purely by individuals. The individuals pay all of their expenses. They pay their travel, and they pay for their lodging. They pay for their food. They do it all. There's nobody that sponsors this. They just all get together. And it is a good time for them to do so. So when I got the invitation, I accepted it and was very grateful. And I'm grateful that the elders here agreed for me to go and also agreed to pay for the plane ticket. So I arrived on Friday. Saturday, Mike Morrow and I got out and we toured Prague via shoe leather. We walked for miles. And I enjoyed it. Sunday, I preached at the services at Prague. We probably had 20, maybe a little over 20 at the services at Prague. And then Sunday afternoon, I traveled with two brethren from Prague and a man named Kasutis, a brother from Lithuania, to Kamenice, where the lectures would be held. So here is this man, Kasutis, who came from Lithuania. I showed you Lithuania a while ago, a small country on the Baltic Sea. And so he was there. So four of us were in the car. And of course, Kasutis spoke Lithuanian. Karl spoke Czech. Jaromir, or Yaroslav, I believe his name was. He spoke Czech. So finally, Kasutis and I found out that he spoke a little English. So we could chat, and we did. So we traveled, us four, in that car down to Kamenice, where the lectures would be held. As I explained on the map, Kamenice was located between Prague and České Budějovice. And each morning, Monday through Friday, I spoke from 9 in the morning until around 11:45 on the two subjects of the Psalms and the Minor Prophets. In the afternoon, from 2:30 to 4:30, Buddy Payne and I had a question and answer session Monday through Friday. So every day, I started teaching at 9 and finished my actual work of teaching by 4:30 in the afternoon. You know what? I'm not complaining. That's what I went for. It always gets me when people give reports and it sounds like what they want to do is have everybody feel sorry for them. Well, I'm not wanting you to feel sorry for me. I'm wanting you to see that we got a lot done. We got a lot done. And so that's what I went for. And I'm glad that we did have those sessions. But I'm wanting you to know that we worked. We went at it. I'm telling you now about some of the people who were there. Bill Bynum and his wife Nancy and their children were there from Budapest, Hungary. And at one time, the work in Hungary looked like it was going to do pretty well. And then there were some very unfortunate setbacks that could have been avoided. And so they really had some terrible setbacks. And now there are just the merest handful that are there trying to meet and worship together. And so Bill Bynum and his wife Nancy are there with their family working and trying to help salvage the work and get it going again. A man named Lee Finner, from the state of Ohio, actually. He and his wife, Sandra. Now, she is a Lithuanian. He and his wife, Sandra, and their baby were there from Lithuania. So, Kasutis and Lee Finner and his wife were there from Lithuania. And then a couple, one of my favorite couples. Most of these were young. Most of them were young. And so, there was this couple, Rudolph and Christina. And they were such a cute couple. He was long and tall, and she was short and cute. And she could speak very good English. They were just the sweetest little couple, and I don't have a clue what their last name was. Most of the time when they told me their last name, I could not envision the word. And if I cannot envision the word, I don't do very well at remembering what the word is. So most of their last names I did get, but some of them I didn't. He did some translating for us, and her English was almost flawless. Even her accent, it was almost flawless. So they were really a great young couple. Now, they were from Bratislava in Slovakia. Bratislava is just across the border from the Czech Republic, down in the southern part of Slovakia. So they were there from Slovakia, and there were some others there from Slovakia as well. Yindra and Misha and their children were there from České Budějovice, and Mira and Ružinka were also there from CB with their two girls. They were at the lectures. And then there were three Hanses that were there. John is a popular name among the Czechs, it seems. Hanza Novak, that was the translator name Jan that I told you about earlier. And then Hanza Vlacek, which means wolf. And he was there with his wife. Very fine young man. And then a third Hanza, a very capable man, an engineer, chemical engineer. And he did the translating for Buddy Payne in the lectures he gave on evidences and so on. And I do not remember his last name, but he and his wife were there also. There was a Czech named Robert. Don't remember his last name. But he is married to Tommy Andrews' daughter, Tammy. So I got to visit with Tammy for a while, and I knew Tommy, her daddy, pretty well. And so they were both present, and Robert did some translating for us also. And this was a very interesting thing to me. The former first chair violinist from the Brno Philharmonic Orchestra was there with his wife. Now, the only reason I mention that is because he was well up in his 80s. He had been converted to Christ, and his wife was converted to Christ, and they were just a sweet old couple. And it is a rewarding thing to see old people among these Czech Christians, because so much of the time they've been young, very young. And here was this very old couple, and everyone just loved them. And there was one time during the time we were there that he actually played his violin for some of us. And you could tell he no longer could play it like he could when he was first chair violinist, but he could still play it. So that was interesting, very interesting to me. Steve Baxley and his family were there from Lido Michel. And of course, Mike Morrow and his wife Tatiana were there with his wife's mother and a niece that they have adopted after the tragic death of her mother. And one lady that I talked with was there from Slovakia, and she was there, she and her quite old mother, but the mother was pretty spry. In other words, quite old meant that she was a good bit older than I was. So they were there, and I enjoyed talking with them. And the younger woman could speak English well enough, we could communicate, but her mother could not. But she was a lady. Her mother was a lady. She was from the old school, and she was very much the lady, and it was a pleasure to know her. There were many others whose names that I cannot recall. We probably had up to 60 or so at some of the services. Toward the end of the week, one of the comments heard in a prayer was, "Help us to show the face of God to the people." I thought that was a good prayer. I thought that was a good point. It is a prayer that should be made everywhere, because that is what we are to be doing, showing the face of God to the people. So I thought that was an interesting line from the prayer. The church does not have legal status in the Czech Republic. That doesn't mean it is illegal. It simply means there are things that the church cannot do. The church cannot incorporate. It cannot build a building. It cannot own property. And you would think, oh, no. But the place where they meet is of little interest to the brethren over there. If you fixed a long list of stuff that they're concerned about, that would be way down on the bottom of the list of 20 or 30 things, if it's on the list at all. And they have no concept that you have to have a church building to have a church. But they meet and they meet faithfully. And it's interesting to me how little concern they have about what kind of a place they have to meet in, as long as it is adequate. And you and I might not consider it to be adequate in our terms, but it is in theirs. And they get together and they go to a lot of trouble to set things up. And they worship. When they're through, they put everything back. And then they go on their way. They do not view it as any problem that they do not have legal status. And the Robert I mentioned to you a little earlier is an attorney over there. And he told me that for one thing, if they didn't have legal status, then they would receive state funds. So, you know, Europe doesn't know anything about this big old wall of separation between church and state that's become such a big, huge deal here in the United States. And so if they had legal status, they would receive church funds. They don't want, state funds, and they don't want that. So they're not concerned about that problem at all. Their worship is scriptural, although it's more informal than ours, simply because there are so much fewer of them. And like I say, part of that has to do with the difference in number. And I want you to understand something. We have more people here at Eastside than there are Christians in the entire Czech Republic and probably Slovakia, Lithuania, and Hungary thrown in for good measure. Now, that ought to make you stop and think. For one thing, we ought to be grateful. And another thing, we ought to be grateful for the work that was done here many decades ago when there were men who came here at the time when people were willing to listen and people responded, and they responded in large numbers. And through the work that was done years ago, the foundation of the present churches that meet in this county was laid. And so we ought to be grateful for that. You and I are living on and enjoying the fruits of others' work. And that is one of the reasons why we have so many of the blessings that we do enjoy. But these people do not feel sorry for themselves. They don't. They don't sit around feeling sorry for themselves. When you're in their services, you don't get any feeling at all that they're saying, "Oh, look how few of us there are." They don't do that. And it's refreshing. I find myself there in their midst, and I think I'm worried about it more than they are. Because they emphasize the relationship they have with God, and that's what matters. It's not the number. The situation in Romania is probably the best of all Eastern European countries so far as the number of people are concerned. I did not include Romania when I said that there are more here than in various countries. All put together, I didn't include Romania. Romania has had its terrible trials. They've had terrible trials. But seemingly now they're doing better, and they have come through the fire, and what is there is very stable. And a lot of work has been done there in Romania to help it be what it is. Buddy Payne had been there, and he gave us a report on the work in Romania while he was in the Czech Republic. So he reported on the work in Romania to the brethren in the Czech Republic, especially there in Prague. In many places, these brethren meet week after week to worship with absolutely nobody to encourage them to do so but themselves. The idea that they've got to have somebody that calls them up and gets on to them if they haven't come, and to find out why they haven't come, and to encourage them to come. They don't have that. There are people who don't come to worship God faithfully unless somebody stays after them to do it. That's pathetic. That is pathetic. And we ought to be ashamed of ourselves if we are of that stripe. Because these people have nothing, they have nobody but themselves. And they work, and they work to be faithful. Some of them have no preachers. There are no elders in any of those churches. It is up to them to do what is done. They are always on the lookout for people with whom they may study. And they talk about the classes they have. And they work hard to find people that they can study with. And two women had been baptized just before I arrived in Chesky-Budyovice. They're capable students. When they ask questions, they're good questions. Sometimes they do show immaturity and a lack of experience, but most of them are still relatively babes in Christ. Immodesty is without a doubt a great problem in Europe, particularly the big cities. I didn't find immodesty in Chesky-Budyovice to be near like it was in Prague. But in all of the major cities in Europe, if you went to those cities, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's the kind of thing that I would not even talk about publicly, because even that would be lascivious to describe to you what I would see, what there was there. But I found the Czech Christian women modestly dressed. That's what I found. It can be done. Even when surrounded by wickedness, it can be done. And these women that are Czech Christians, they did dress modestly. Their society sure would not lead them to do it. And so I want you to get that point, that we can also avoid the excesses of our society. We don't have to go along with them. After the lectures, I went to Chesky-Budyovice and stayed until Wednesday. I had studies on Saturday with Mira and Ruzhinka. Now then, Mira wanted to know how one finds the right balance between a hypercritical attitude that is never satisfied with the evidence and an attitude that never seeks solutions to difficult questions at all. Now, that was a simple question that Mira wanted to talk about. In other words, when you work with Mira, you're not helping him learn the 12 apostles. This is what he wanted to know. This is what he wanted to study. So I studied with him. We had services at 8 o'clock. They meet at 8 o'clock in the morning. We had 11 present, counting myself. After church, I spent the day with Yendra and Misha. I studied some of the Psalms with Yendra and also talked about how to study pretty well at length with him. And I attempted to advise Misha about problems with her family. That's what she wanted me to talk about. I don't know how much I was able to help her, because those problems often have no solution. Monday, Mira wanted to study again, and he wanted to study about freedom. But it wasn't political freedom, but it was nevertheless a more philosophical discussion, and I told him it was. I frankly didn't have a lot of interest in it, but I did talk to him about it, but it was a philosophical thing more than it was a spiritual thing. So we talked about it. Then we had another discussion. He wanted to know about canonization, the books of the Bible. How do we know about the books of the Bible? So we had a fairly extensive discussion of the canonization of the Bible. These discussions would last over an hour. And it didn't have to be translated either. It was just one long stream of English. I also had studies with Ruzhinka, several studies. And one of them was a fairly detailed story of Balaam, because she did not know why he was considered such a bad guy. She knew he was considered a bad guy, but she didn't see why. So she wanted to study. And she was not going to be easily persuaded either about it. And I appreciate that. She wanted to know. She wanted to know the truth. Tuesday, I drove up to the cottage with Yendra and Misha and their two precious girls. And there I gave Yendra a most thorough history of the times of the prophets and a summary of every one of the written prophets. That's what Yendra wanted to study. And I can't tell you everything, and I'm not going to tell you much more. But I'll always remember the day that I studied with Yendra. Beautiful. We were on top of a hill with green grass, fragrant herbs. We sat there in the shade. Beautiful, one of the most beautiful valleys I've ever seen, just spread out there before us. It's a memory. Wednesday, I studied with Ruzhenka some more. She took me on a historical tour of Chesky Budyovice. I enjoyed that because I love history. And I especially love to be there standing looking at this is the place where it happened. And while they're telling me about it, I enjoyed that. Wednesday evening, we had a study with the church members except for Mira, who had to miss because of the business trip. And then Thursday, I got up at 4:45 in the morning and traveled to Prague on the train. Mike and I then went by Delta and got my corrected tickets. And I want to give an awfully big thank you to Greg, because he helped me out of a real problem. And I really appreciate Greg Steele for helping me out. So Mike Morrow and I went by Delta and got my corrected tickets. And I spent the rest of the day getting ready for the lecture that evening. A great deal of study and preparation to get that lecture ready. And then I put it on PowerPoint and Tatiana translated it. And we probably had 20 visitors at this lecture who had never come before. And so this gave an opportunity to get names and people that, you know, could be studied with and so on. And tonight you're going to get to hear that lecture yourself, because that's what I'm going to talk to you about. And I'm going to preach to you the lecture that I gave on that Thursday night to the people there in Prague. And several Bible studies were signed up as a result. And at 7:30 Friday morning, I got up. We went to a nearby museum located in the old house that belonged to an aristocrat. And even though the house was more than I've ever even thought about having, it was simply the summer getaway cottage for this aristocrat, who had, of course, long since died and so on. It's now a museum. He had allowed Mozart and his wife Constanza to stay there while Mozart finished his opera Don Giovanni. And I saw pianos that Mozart played on himself. I enjoyed that experience immensely. We got to the airport about 11 o'clock with departure at 12:45, and it was one of those fairly rare times that I wished I'd gotten there 15 minutes earlier. But I made it. I made every connection. And 21 or 22 hours after I woke up that morning, I got to go to sleep. And it was nice when that time came. After a trip like this, one thing I do not have to feel guilty about is the use of my time. My time was used for teaching. I could not tell you the total of lessons and studies presented during the time. I think there's no doubt that the brethren were profited and built up by the work that we did. We need to be conscious of our brethren and sisters in faraway parts of the world. We need to think about them. I want to encourage all of you to think about these brethren in other parts of the world. They are brethren. I want us to think about them. I want them to be on our mind. They will certainly be on my mind more. They have their problems and their concerns. And I'm still not convinced by any means that the pump has been primed. Now, some of you older folks know what I'm talking about when I talk about priming a pump. You have to have a certain amount of water or that pump will not get primed. And I'm not sure that the pump is primed in the work in Europe. In other words, if all efforts were withdrawn from outside encouragement right now, I'm not sure that the work would survive. It is still necessary to work hard to establish the cause of Christ in these places. So, there is my report. And there are all sorts of details that I could tell you about, and maybe we'll tell you about as we talk privately. But I was very encouraged to be there and to have the opportunity to be there. We're glad to have you today. We're grateful for our visitors. And we want you to be built up by the services here. We want to worship God and be pleasing to Him and devote our lives to Him. Study His Word carefully and be concerned about other people, to do what we can to convert them. If you're not a child of God today, we plead with you. We plead with you not to take what you have for granted. Do not take the opportunities that you have for granted. Sometimes the way God teaches us not to take advantage, not to neglect our advantages, is to take the advantages away. And it might be that the time will come when our advantages will be taken away. So let's appreciate them while we do have them, and not let them spoil us. Not let them ruin us. I've talked with more than one Czech about how much easier things are now. But one of their concerns is that, yes, things are easier now. And they have a very rich culture. But I was talking with Mike Mara's wife, Tatiana, and she said that one thing that concerns her is that they now have gray malls in the Czech Republic. And there are young people, she mentioned especially young women, teenage girls, who spend all their time doing nothing but running up and down that mall, buying whatever doodads they can buy and wishing they could buy more. And that is what culture is becoming. Life in the mall. And as she was telling me about that, can you guess what I was thinking? What has life here become? What has culture here become? I sometimes wonder if we have any culture. We need to take lessons from this. So if you're not a Christian, don't neglect the opportunity you have today. The opportunity you have had. The opportunity you have, and if the world stands, you'll have it for a while. But one day it may be gone. One day it will be gone. So don't neglect it. Why don't you become a Christian today? Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Turn away from sin. Confess your faith. And be baptized to have your sins forgiven. If you're subject to the invitation of the Lord, come as we stand and sing.